folks knew that song or would be able to sing it if they were here today. In heaven, we were standing together singing that song and would pan by somebody, and in my mind's eye, I could see their face and I could hear their voice singing that song. And it just reminded me of how, as followers of Jesus, we really are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses that are have gone on before us, and in my mind, are not that far away from us. And so it was very meaningful. This day is very meaningful to me, and I'm so glad that you're a part of that for me and my family. You've heard the phrase front and center. It's where we put all of the important things and all of the important people. Front and center. The VIPs, if you will. If we were to go into our homes and take a look at what is front and center, we would see the pictures of the kids or the grandkids. We would see in our offices the diplomas and the credentials that we have. Perhaps in our dens and our comfortable places and our man caves, we would see our favorite team's memorabilia, the things that are front and center, the cross that some of us wear around our neck, perhaps the tattoos that we bear that have the names of those that are our special loved ones, or perhaps even a favorite scripture of ours. Front and center, it's about focus. Whatever is front and center, it captures and it holds our attention. It calls for our devotion. I look on the third finger of my left hand and I see a gold ring, and it reminds me that my wife Jill and our marriage is front and center. As I walk through the foyer of our church and I see the cross there in the foyer, I'm reminded that Jesus Christ died for me and for us, and he has a claim on my life, and that claim is front and center. I sit in the stands at a ball game cheering on the child of a friend, of a close friend, and their treasured friendship becomes front and center in that moment. The risk, of course, is that person or that thing, that object, can loom too large, and they become something they were never meant to be. No way Moses would have known God the way he did had a burning bush not been front and center. As Moses approached the burning bush, he stepped onto holy ground. Holy because God was there. And God told Moses to take off his shoes. And God told Moses his name. And God, not the burning bush, but God became front and center in Moses' life. God said to Moses, "Moses, I am. And if he had added in some southern hospitality, he might would have added, "Nice to meet you." Over the next few weeks, I want us to meet Jesus. An introduction, if you will, or maybe even a reintroduction. I want us to meet Jesus as God in the flesh, with the hope that he will become front and center in our lives in a fresh and sustaining way. Now, John's gospel is sprinkled with short phrases where Jesus begins either in conversation or in a teaching with "I am," and then he fills in the blank. So each week as we go forward will be a different "I am" introduction to Jesus. Today is the bread of life. Now you might say, "Pastor, I've been walking with Jesus many years, and I think I know him pretty well." And to that I would say, I hope you have been walking with him. And I hope that you do know him well. But if you're like me, other things can take Jesus' place as front and center in our lives. And I need to be reminded, and perhaps you as well, of who Jesus said he was and what he wants to do in the hearts and the minds and the souls of us. So let me pick up in John chapter 6, verse 28. Then they asked him, and Jesus always, not always, but Jesus at this time had a crowd of people around him. So they asked him, "What must we do to do the works that God requires?" And Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." So they asked him, "What sign will you give that we may see it and believe? What will you do? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." "Jesus, that's what Moses did. What will you do?" And Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." "Sir," they said, "always give us this bread." Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." That those would be true for each one of us. That the deep hunger of our soul, the thirsting of our hearts, would be met by Jesus Christ. I believe that he is the only one who can fully satisfy the hunger and the thirst of our souls. Jesus introduces himself. "I am the bread of life. If you're hungry, come to me." Jesus invited people to come to him in different times and places. An invitation to people. Today is no different. His invitation is to you and me. He's always inviting us to come to him. Sometimes we think that the Lord doesn't want anything to do with us. But Jesus is inviting people to come to him. "Come to me if you are hungry." In this place here that we call church, there are things that are front and center. Important things that we want to hang on to. Perhaps even particular people that we can remember who are so important. And they have helped to keep us centered on the one that is Jesus Christ, who captures and holds our attention and our devotion. You see, what I'm suggesting is that it is Jesus Christ who is to be front and center in our lives, and that he captures and holds our hearts and our attention and our devotion. Here in this place that we call church, we have things that are front and center that remind us of Jesus Christ, who captures our attention and our devotion. The cross behind me above the baptismal pool, the cross out in the foyer, at times the candle flame that flickers, the arches in our architecture that point us heavenward, the map in the back on the back wall that reminds us of the world that needs to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. All of these things remind us and help to keep Jesus Christ front and center in this place. And on that day that we read about, Jesus introduced himself to them front and center. He said, "I am the bread of life. I am the one the Father has sent. The Father is the one who gives the bread of life, and I am the bread of life." And he invited them to come to him with their hunger. They were hungry, all right. He had fed more than 5,000 earlier in the gospel, and they wanted Jesus to continue to feed them that way. If this is what Jesus does, they thought, then let's follow him wherever he goes. If it's across the sea, let's run around and see if we can beat him. Let's stay with Jesus wherever he goes. "Feed us, Lord. Feed us the bread and the fish." It's a free meal. It was manna for our ancestors, but with Jesus, it's bread and fish. Keep on, Jesus. Keep on feeding us. Always, we're with you. Honestly, we're with Jesus too. When we're blessed with provisions, when we have more than enough, when we're full on life's pleasures, when our bank accounts are full, when our friends are acting like friends, keep on feeding us, Lord, and thank you for feeding us. We're with you. But it doesn't take long for us to get hungry again. Not so much the hunger pains in our stomach, but it's a soul hunger in our inner selves. I pick it up in conversations with you about challenges and difficulties, circumstances that seem to be buffeting you. Oftentimes when I talk to people and I hear about their experiences, I'm reminded that if it was just one thing that came along, we could probably handle one thing. But when it begins to be overwhelming is when it's two things and three things and four things and five things, and it just feels more like a tsunami than just one small thing. Lord, we're with you when the blessings are good and when life is good, Lord. We'll go with you wherever you'll lead, Lord. Keep on feeding us the bread and the fish, Lord. We're with you until our soul hunger begins to cry out. And oftentimes when things become difficult is the very time that we say, Lord, I don't need you. This is too hard. This is too painful. This is too disappointing. This is too heavy. I'm just going to take it on my own. I'm going to take this thing and I'm going to go my way. Almost as if we were blaming the Lord for this thing, this hardship. When actually the Lord says, it's not the manna that Moses gave you in the wilderness. It's me that God the Father has given you to be the bread of life. Today, Jesus invites you and me to come to him. He says, I am the bread of life. Child, you can feast on anything and everything. All the things and the people that are front and center in your life, you'll eat it and drink it up, and it just isn't meant to last. It's just not meant to feed your souls for your life. Come to me. I am the bread of life. When our soul hungers, come to Jesus. He is the bread of life. Now, friends, I have to tell you, I don't know how Jesus will feed you. I can't peer down into your soul, but the Lord can and has, and he knows you. I don't know how the Lord will be the bread of life for you and how he will feed you. But sometimes when discouragement hits hard, we become tempted to return to old patterns of thought and behavior. And we feast on that. Kind of like we're in an echo chamber that just we feast on, and it becomes a downward spiral. Old patterns of thought and behavior. And in the face of those, of that discouragement, when we're tempted to return to the old ways, Jesus is there to say to you and me and invite us, come to me. I am the bread of life. Feast on me and not on that old way. even today, even now, you may be considering an old way. And that things have become too heavy, too difficult, too stressful, too much to handle. And you know that there's an old way that invites you to come back. And this morning, in this moment, I say to you, hear the words of Jesus inviting you to come to Him. He says, I am the bread of life. If you feast on that, child, you'll be left empty and hungry. Come to me, Jesus says, when discouragement hits hard. Come to me, Jesus says, when pride flares up in us and we get defensive and we get angry and we take up punishment into our hands. And we take up a passive aggression towards someone. Jesus says, come to me. Don't allow your pride to be what you feast on. Come to me, Jesus says and invites us. I am the bread of life. I will care for you. Sometimes when we feel like we have to stand for ourselves and we have to take punishment up into our hands, it's because we don't believe that God is really going to take care of us. We don't believe that God is going to take a stand for us. And we think that we've got to do it ourselves. But Jesus says, come to me. I am the bread of life, and I will care for you. Come to me, Jesus invites us, when the powers that be seem to not be on your side. And everything seems bigger than you. Jesus says, you come to me. I am the bread of life, and I will stand with you. And you can stand on me, Jesus says. And you can stand with renewed strength. One of the things that goes when we're hungry and when we're depleted is our strength, our resolve, our courage, our effort. Same for our souls. When our souls are hungry, our strength fails. And Jesus invites us to come to Him. He says, I am the bread of life, and on me you can stand, and I will give you renewed strength. Come to me, Jesus invites us. I am the bread of life. Come to me when you feel ashamed and you want to run away and hide. Come to me, Jesus invites us. And let me feed your soul with the bread of life, with grace, with peace, with unconditional love. Come to me, Jesus says. I want to tell us, church, that this should be a place where we extend to one another that kind of grace and peace, and unconditional love. We should never feel like that we have to earn the love and the grace of one another. Because we have tasted of that from the Lord. Then we become channels and avenues of that same kind of grace and unconditional love toward the other. And we all carry shame on us for different reasons. Ways that we might have failed someone, or maybe failed ourselves, or we've failed God in what we believed God wanted us to do. And we carry a kind of shame around with us. We may not tell people that. We may not carry a sign around that says, I'm ashamed. But down deep in us, it goes with us wherever we go. And sometimes it can dictate to us how we are with people. And when we carry shame with us, it causes us to just go away, to run away, to hide. And amongst the people of Jesus, this gathering should always be a place where people should not have to fear running and hiding, but should always feel that same invitation that Jesus says, come as you are, as you have need. I am the bread of life, the Lord says. Come to me and eat what I have to give to you. Might we meet Jesus this morning again, or perhaps even for the first time, as the bread of life. May he nourish us down in our souls and strengthen us with this kind of eternal food that he has to nourish our souls. Might we be strengthened and encouraged and lifted up, because our God is good. And he wants good things for us. And Jesus says, it wasn't the manna that Moses had to give you that gives you life. It's me. The Father has sent me. I am the bread of life, Jesus says. And so eat of me, Jesus says, and be filled. Rest in me and be restored. Amen. Lord, we thank you that you are the bread of life, that you invite us to come to you when our souls are hungry, whether we even can detect the hunger in this moment or not. Perhaps we know that we're feasting on other things, and we know they will not satisfy. This day, Lord, might we turn from those things. And might you be front and center in our lives. And might we be filled by you. In this moment of prayer and contemplation, perhaps the Lord is speaking to you about what is front and center in your life. And perhaps what you might would recognize is that there is a hunger in your soul. And that Jesus Christ, as the bread of life, front and center in your life, will feed your soul and nourish you and strengthen you. I ask a question for you to consider in this moment of prayer. And maybe this would be a moment where you might open your heart to the Lord and allow his Holy Spirit to begin to minister to you. What deep place in you needs the nourishment of the bread of life? In this moment, as you consider your heart, maybe you know what that need is in your heart today that just simply needs to be nourished by the Lord. In this moment, ask the Lord in prayer, name that place in you, and then ask the Lord to be your bread, the bread of life in that place, and to nourish you in that place, to strengthen you in that place, to be your help for this day and these days ahead. Jesus, thank you that you introduce yourself to us in such a deep and meaningful way. Nothing trivial, nothing superficial, but it runs deep, Lord. And might we find you in that deep place today. And might you be who you say you are. Might you be our bread of life. Might you be front and center in our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.